all four of us at this morning. Still good for us to pray, huh? But how do you spell it out? So, while they're doing whatever they're doing to get the Bible done, I just wasn't to get that. So, there was a so, the conference, I just wanted to, before I preach, before I share the word of God with us, just to make mention of this commissioning conference. It's going to be a time to be friends and family. It's a high profile person. There's speakers from the United States, two speakers, from our national director speaking, Dr. Kevin Corlove, maybe speaking and sharing, Michael Bell, who studied at Oxford University and is now doing SALT. He's going to be speaking as well on the Saturday morning. And he worked with Roger Zacharias for 5 years, so he does apologetics. So he's a little bit differently. So bring friends, bring family, bring young people who have questions. And we're going to just stick him on the stage and these people ask whatever questions they want to ask. And this is a type of smart guy. You know? He's only, he's a 31 or 32. But I spent some time with him, and I just want to say he's sitting around 3 or 4 times in front of him in that band. Now, when you're talking to someone, you just know they're done in a band, so this is going to be the same as they say, you know? But what an amazing guy. So you really have this amazing opportunity for the conference. Thursday night, I'll be opening the conference, and then we'll be back there. What's going to be happening in the speakers over the next few days. And next Sunday, Brian Black will be with us. Bring people, man. Bring people who need to be saved, healed, fixed, delivered, cast out. Maybe we'll bring some good people in the back. We'll raise them. I don't know. Nothing better. But we do need all hands on deck. Okay? So we need some questions. How can we be involved? If you want to be involved, sign up with us. That's going to be the easiest way. Because we try to call down everything to the office. We have the national budget of the region. His wife wants to come down to the conference. And he said, there's people coming from all over the place. So, we're part of it, invite people, but come and serve. This is an amazing church. We serve our way to them. Thank you. So, there's been lots of questions about how can we get involved? And people are asking me and just asking me, how can we get involved? The easiest way, please just get the info, there's a sign up next to the gift form. Just put your name down and just tell us how we're available. I can help, I can pray, I can feed, I can do something, I can bury cars, I can fix things, I can keep whatever it is. Don't necessarily say anything, just I'm available. We'll find something to do. Okay. And then our friends. And you say, could we be involved in your house? I don't know about that, right? Now, please, first of all, come, invite people to sign up to serve. Okay? So, Easter Sunday, that's the Resurrection Sunday. Now, as you may or may not know, I come from a specific background, three generations South African, but there's a way that we greet one another on Easter Sunday. And it goes like this. So, I want to teach you this as a church. Maybe you know this, because the Greek is the heavenly language, as you know. So, I want to say, today is like my favorite Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And after doing this for so many years, and kind of doing this for Christmas and Easter, I preached 50 Christmas messages, 50 or 40 Easter messages. But I'm sure it's an amazing thing because the Word of God is. So I pray that God would just touch my heart this morning can extend the head of my sexual state. Then today, we get to a point where believing in the resurrection and Jesus isn't just a story or something that happened a long time ago, but actually has relevance and impact now today in the 21st century. That's my prayer for today. So Holy Spirit, with you, really power this morning over us, God, and you use me and use your words to shift and change us, that we may see that the resurrection has relevance in our lives today in the 21st century. See, John starts with this. We live and die, Christ died and lived. You know? What amazing, unparalleled hope that we have. Truly. And what hope is there apart from Jesus in this world? We can hope in money, and power, and possessions, and friends, and relationships, and cars, and houses. It all means nothing. But we have this unparalleled hope because Christ died and lived. And I wonder if you reduce the kingdom of God to kind of a private devotion, to victory on the cross, as something that appeases our conscience, we can get to heaven one day, and Easter in itself is like this happy, escapist kind of ending to a sad story. A father with God, Jesus is alive, and that's later. So nice Sunday Easter, isn't it? It is, we all know the story, but it's like when you take communion, it could be the nip and the sip, or it could be something of significance. And I pray that this morning would be something of significance. Because Easter is the most important event of the Christian calendar and the Christian faith. Because Christ is resurrected. The word of God says this. If Christ is not alive, you're still lost in your sins and your faith is a fantasy. Your faith is a fantasy. If Christ is not alive. But it is alive and our faith is a fantasy. In Jesus' death and resurrection, the powers of this world are defeated. You know that. Politics, powers, principalities, all that stuff. Municipalities. Jesus resurrection is the launch of a new world order. And I'm not talking about like some weird Illuminati stuff. It's the launch of a new world order, new humanity, a new creation. A different model for us as human beings to live our lives and to live our lives out and to have hope for the future. And how can you realize this morning that a different worldview is possible? A worldview that the rich, the powerful, the resource, the correct, they don't have the last say. They don't. Do you want me to say that again? Because I don't know what that is, some unknown or whatever. Some of the stories that I don't make sense, it isn't me. Let me say it again, okay? It's a different worldview where the rich, the powerful, the useless, the correct don't have the last say. There you go. The same worldview shift that we call today, the resurrection of Jesus, empowers us to transform the world around us. You know, one day when you get to heaven, you know, walk into heaven, walk through the pearly gates, you're going to meet a guy like, you're going to meet other guy. And you're going to have a conversation with him. You know what he's going to say? Hey, good man, how are you doing? You've been doing my book. But the word of God is important, so read the Bible, okay? But actually, I think when you get to heaven, you're going to meet some of the heroes of our faith. And we're going to ask them, Christians, we're going to go to Noah and go, what is it like to hear from God and build an ark and see all those animals come together? You mean Abraham and ask you, what is it like going up that mountain with your son, thinking that you've got a sacrifice? Sarah, you were barren for all these years, and then you have a baby. What is it like? David fell into slavery and then became a king. He said an answer. David, which stone did you use in that kid? What is that like? How did you end up killing the little guy against this giant? Talk to me about this. And Gideon, what did you feel when God said, just go with 300 guys? How did you pull that off? When you think of Moses, hey Moses, when you walk up to the rescue, you saw Pharaoh's army coming, and the Lord said, lift your hands, and you went up there, and you saw the sea top. What was that like? Can you imagine? What was that like? Talk to me about that. Elijah calling down the fire on the prophets of God. one priest, 400 times, going, "Mr. Fireson, and a test." What's a good life? You know, tension, suspense. What's a good life to be just passing? What's a helpless dance? You know? I can tell you for a short time, I don't know. That makes me really sick, because I haven't heard of that before, but it's just so funny. And, think of drama. What is it like in the body of a fish? Huh? I'm where I'm aligned to. What is that like? Says that Michigan and Brittany guy, standing in the fire. Who is the fourth person? What is it like to stand in the fire? I think these are questions we've got to ask. Anybody? I would love to know. But I think, you know what they're going to ask us? As a new creation believers, this is what I think, right? Every single one of them is going to ask us this. How was it to live with one of them? Praise me. You see, I am breakthrough and part of the sea. I am part of the mouth of the land. I am those sense of strength. But I am in greatness. But I am difficult from time to time. Now, then I am the part of the Red Sea and Rose. Then the proportions of what I am, as so, as I am, and so a few miraculous events, we have the Holy Spirit, we have our own inheritance. So, why can't we pray for this? Is this, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, I am, is living in you, is He who raised Christ from the dead, and also gives life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, who lives with, did you see? That's the Bible, right? He lives in you. Jesus was raised to life. Jesus was raised to life, but that's the death. Raised to life by the life of His Spirit. And now the life of His Spirit enthralls us. And our lives are never the same. So now think of it like this. The earth, that's in Genesis, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, I am, was hovering over the waters. Now it goes on. The Holy Spirit is how God gives things up. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, hovering over the waters in Genesis, brought life to chaos. This same Spirit indwells you and indwells me. Is this Spirit of God means? Are you going to the Spirit of God? What does this mean? Well, it does mean some stuff. I can't fix my worldview. It's the Spirit that brought to chaos in the world, in the oceans, because He grows us. Surely, this gives us a different worldview, a different hope. You will drink chaos if you say yes, and your life will be constant. Trust me when I say nothing will ever be the same. I said yes many, many years ago, and I didn't know what it meant. But many of these folks gave me the church. And my mom's fault, she said, "Yes, we can't tell you something over here." You know the prayers of a mother, and my wife, me. They know me growing in the church, and I think, yes. And God willing me to anything else. Yeah, He's made me a Jesus junkie. I don't want to do anything else. I'm not called to do anything else. This is who I am. And it's the Holy Spirit in me. So I'm not mighty enough to do this. Myself. So, well, you know, good morning. My name is Andrew, and I'm a Jesus Christ. So, I will do that. I love Him, and I do my best to love others. I love seeing His kingdom come. I love seeing people come into faith in Jesus. I love seeing people where the sight comes to blind, the deaf hear, lame walk, cancer heal, limbs grow, and so much more. I love seeing community form, and I love community come together when faith in Jesus. I've seen that over and over and over and over. Since I said to give to Jesus. And trust me, I'm not clever enough to do this. I'm only to His glory and His power and His Holy Spirit is in me that empowers me to do this. And to see this stuff happen. I don't know. People go, how did you find the truth? I don't know. How did you do this? I don't know. But that person was you. How did that happen? I don't know, I prayed, and I was just as surprised as they were that their spouse is still in the day, but I don't know what to do. No, really, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be living a naturally supernatural lifestyle. We should go like this and see the waters part, and we've got dry ground across the river and go, well, this is the deal. Why does that surprise us? But it does. And I need a bit of confession, because I do, I play some people in the hills, and I don't understand. And I've seen it over and over, you know? But that, my friends, is the spirit of Easter. That's the spirit of Easter. So, the spirit of Easter, let's read together. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spice of the hill and had prepared a great kitchen. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body. While they were there wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down at the face of the ground, but the men said to them, "Why are you in the midst of the building and not the building?" He was not sure. He was listening. "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in the building. The Holy Spirit has put a hole in all the stuff on Easter morning. In addition to raising Jesus from the dead, he is not here, he is risen. Do you see the Spirit's power on Jesus and it sets him apart from any other messiahs of the time, supposed messiahs, leaders, and others? On the cross, Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And it seemed that his spirit left until we see the Spirit, the Spirit's power of work in Easter morning. And Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And things never look the same again. As very few changes we do. But the only faith that has to do it. He's not here, he is risen. This is the spirit of the new creation. In John, peace be with you, says Jesus, as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. And with that, he pleased on them and said, after the resurrection, Jesus breathes from his disciples, and dry bones come to life. Someone claimed it. How many of you know that when you receive the Holy Spirit and you receive Jesus, something is different? This thing goes from just being a book to being received. Anybody? This book goes around with me everywhere. Jesus called dry bones to life. So let's take a moment and look at an Old Testament story which I think ties into this. Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the dry bones. Let's read together. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he sent me in the middle of the valley of the Spirit of bones. He led me back and forth around me, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very after some men, can these bones live?" I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know." You see? "Then he says, 'Prophesy to these bones and say, them dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to you, these bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life.'" Did Jesus believe on them? I mean, there's a link there. Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. Does it have anything to do with Easter, new creation Christians, new creation people? I think it does. The Lord says to these bones, "I will make breath into you and come to life." Jesus believes on the disciples, he believes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he gives new life into us, and our bones come to life. We put flesh on them and become new creation Christians, new creation people. This is good news. But let me tell you, this is good news. You put flesh on your dry bones. All of a sudden, There's a difference in your body, there's a difference in your spirit, there's a difference in your worldview, there's a difference where you see people, there's a difference where you see the country, the people, the nation. Different. You put different lenses in your eyes to see differently. Anybody? I don't know, there's a few people in the front that have experienced that, the rest of you are going to grace you later. So, he always came to speak into the world and we could do the things that Jesus did. Jesus said this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I will do, and they will do even greater things than these, because I will be there to the Father. You will do what? He will do what? Anyone will do what? Greater things. Indeed. Is the story, it's the thing. Jesus died, he rose from the dead. If I believe in him, I can get to heaven, I'll kill my wife, secure. And it doesn't have a whole lot of relevance to how we live our lives. But if you're empowered by that, I am who parted the Red Sea, closed the mouth of the lion, displayed the giant. That's who dwells in. Okay? That's the deal. In two lives, it's just resurrection doesn't mean escaping from the world. It means mission to the world based on Jesus as the Lord sent over the world. So this is not about just getting to heaven. This is about engaging with God's mission to the world based on Jesus as the Lord sent over the world. Put simply, the resurrection doesn't mean pie in the sky when you die. It means steak on your plate when you wait. Now, there you go, man. That's a kind of liberalism, okay? But it is. Set pie in the sky when you die. When I get to heaven, then there's going to be pie in the sky. Halo and liquor and floating around in the cloud. Okay, so there's a picture of heaven that's wrong. Because there's stairs and that's not what heaven is. Okay. But it's about faith on the place while you wait. It's about Jesus doing stuff now. As new creation people, we engage with his mission into the world now. We love on people. We do this with human people. We visit the sick, the poor, the lame, the lazy. And you say, Jesus. Is it Jesus you can give you hope? No. I'm getting myself into trouble now. But as new creation people, we must claim our lives and our church to the kingdom of God. For the lordship of Jesus through the power of his spirit. Because only he can do this. Only he can do this. And when we do that, when we believe that, when we walk in that, we can go out and we can see the kingdom come. We can announce the lordship of Jesus. We see the transformation of people and see societies change around us. Our communities change. You know, when you walk in on a Sunday morning and I have a garden, you go, I'm not going to tell you, it's terrible that you walk in the whole garden. But do you have time? You know that he goes before you. You know that the atmosphere is different when you enter the room because Jesus indwells you. Well, can you come right into that atmosphere and change it? The spirit of the resurrection. There is new life that calls to every single one of us at this point. We are new creation people. Are you with me? If you don't agree, I'm going to keep preaching. Well, I'm going to keep preaching anyway, but I mean, no, because this is important stuff. We need to understand this as Christians that we carry something from heaven in us. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead indwells us. So I got at the beginning and I said, bring some dead people to the conference. And then someone's going to put on Facebook and they'll say, hey, one of those churches. Please, Jesus, look at that. Come on. So, Romans 6, Paul says this, the spirit of the resurrection. We will therefore bring you with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ is raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, you see it? That we is inclusive, it's all of us. It means, from the Greek, we, all of us. Okay. So, we too may have new life. If we have been united with him like this, it is just we're speaking with him. In the resurrection. We too you even teach them for 12 minutes? I want to tell them, don't have kindness for the time. I mean, see, I said, a clock going by February 9th, it's not about 6 feet or something like that. Because you too may have a new life. I'm not saying it's human, it's okay. So my wife said to me one day, okay, you too may have a new life. The truth that raised Jesus from the dead is raising people to life all around us. There's no more beautiful miracle to watch than to see people come to faith. One of my favorite things is to see a not yet believer falling in love with Jesus. You know, it is the most beautiful thing. And with the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, you know, it is freedom. And as you walk in the fullness of this new life, and you see people coming to salvation, and their lives will never be the same. So then you ask, do you believe this? So then see Jesus with someone. You know, when I had the rest stop, I was involved with the family team, and I was just kind of experiencing them, and I was part of who comes to faith in Jesus. And you must know, when someone like that comes to faith in Jesus, he comes to faith in Jesus like properly. Because he's believing his whole life that the Messiah is coming, and he realizes that the Messiah is coming. Do you remember a Toyota Christian, like an old Toyota Christian? He painted the thing with blackboard paint and wrote scriptures all over it. Remember? Yeah. I said, are we crazy? But shouldn't we all to realize what this means? Yeah? And he still serving Jesus faithfully and radically. Yeah? And my story is similar. I was not interested in doing this. You know, you have restaurants and businesses and whatever, and you have to go and just spray and cook. You know, spray and cook. You just spray and cook. So you now spray and cook, because I still cook, you see. But don't you have your own personal salvation story? And then you ask that question again, because it concerns me a little bit. Do you have your own personal salvation story? Okay, thank you. This is your first question, you know. Because you know Jesus personally, you've got something to tell someone somewhere. If you're a Christian for 5 minutes, you've got something to tell someone somewhere. See in your face. Because there's freedom in Christ, as Paul writes this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, pray. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who have under our faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom from bondage, freedom from oppression, freedom from illness, freedom from all sorts of things. You know, the message of Easter is neither that God once did some spectacular miracle and then decided to stop these miracles. That's not the message of Easter. Nor is the message of Easter that there's a blissful life after death to look forward to. The message of Easter is that God through the world has been involved in Jesus Christ and been invited to participate and to belong to it. The Gospel of John says it this way. Jesus says it this way. The wind blows where you hear Jesus, you hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We have the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. The Spirit of God knows where Jesus, where he sees you. But what does this mean? What does this mean? Heaven and earth. It means this. Your wife or whatever you just appears. But you have a bit. No one, no time, no time. In an old order of things is Christ. You know, maybe you're beginning to see that there's a possibility of something new. New hopes, new adventures, new things that you never dreamed of. Except you're a new creation person. I pray that God would begin to just show that to you this morning. If you go, I means more than I'm getting to as a normal person. It certainly means that power that has been given to me is to cleanse the world of the world. So, two simple questions, and I'll close with this. Two simple questions that will open the door for kingdom interaction with people. Like a mental fellow, self-taught fellow, something to religious people say about whatever. Really simple. You want to see, you want to introduce Jesus in your world? Say so easy. Ask someone, what would you like Jesus to do to you today? Let me meet someone. What would you like Jesus to do to you today? How can I talk to you? That's simple. It's really much more complicated than that. Because if I look out there today, do you know someone that if you ask the question, what would you like Jesus to do to you today? They have an option. How can I trust it? You know, there might be something that needs to be a little bit more than something that needs to be a little bit more than life. It might wake up a whole new way of doing life. That's what Easter is all about. The surprising spirit is like the business of the Trinity, your life, the power of life, at this moment. Are you ready for what the new surprise that the spirit has to do? That's 1%. There's 300 people. Are you ready for the surprising thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do to you? There you go. Okay. The power of resurrected Jesus can be given to you. The counting of the resurrected Jesus transforms you, equips you, powers, changes your life, changes your study, changes your family, changes your work, changes your world, changes our nation. We've got elections coming, and people are fearful. Man, come on. Jesus has got a plan for our nation. Do you believe that? How many of you think, what about that plan? Where's the last thing from that I say, what did you mean, Jesus? Come on, this is the deal. This is the deal. This is the God that we serve. Imagine if every Christian, when I say there's 70% of people in South Africa are Christians, imagine if 40 million people or 45 million people stood up and actually believed this stuff and went into the election, and it's our nation. But we live in fear, and we don't believe that we have the resurrected power of Jesus dwelling us, and we don't, the surprising spirit like a wind blowing wherever he pleases. And he's just walking towards you. So today, let me ask you these two questions. Let me pose these questions to you. What would you like Jesus to do to you today? Anyone need Jesus to do to you today? That is a good question. So why don't you stay?